Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency. My name is Kevin Turley. I'm your host here, and we're about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Wasn't it wonderful talking to Father Peter? What an inspirational figure. I would go into battle with him. I would even think about jumping out of a plane with him again. I'm not sure I would jump out again, but he's the sort of man that you would follow. He definitely has that ability to inspire confidence and also a sense of duty, a sense of something beyond ourselves, which is the true Christian approach to risk and to death. And obviously the type of men and women he's dealing with, they're not dealing with risk just because they fancy some adventure. They're dealing with the very serious protection of the country and the United States Constitution, people's rights and liberties. That's what they're putting their lives on the line for. So we'll be praying very much for Father Peter in this Divine Mercy Chaplet. But I think as well, we should also pray for all of those in service of their country, giving their lives potentially so that we can live ours in peace. Okay, we're about to say the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So let's find out who our Divine Mercy warrior is today.
In the studio with us, Kevin, is Mrs. Cindy May.
Cindy, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Not too bad. You're not thinking of jumping out of any airplanes, are you, Cindy?
Not today, no.
I think with Father Peter, I'd follow him a long way, but maybe not there, not there. Now, talking of jumping out, though, I mean, probably like me, you consider prayer as sort of risk-taking, isn't it? We place ourselves in God's hands each day. Would you say that's the case, Cindy?
Sure, absolutely.
And you're a great believer in it, I can tell.
Yes.
You wouldn't be here otherwise. Right. What does the Divine Mercy Chaplet mean to you?
It means a way to, I don't know, give myself to God and hand over my worries and troubles and stresses and life to Him.
That's a beautiful answer. And perfect. Listen, if anybody is out there listening to this show, Cindy and I are about to pray. And we're praying for you if you're listening to this radio station, okay? But we'd also like to pray for you. If there's something specific that you need praying for, it can be a family issue, a marital problem, it can be a work issue, it can be wanting to get work or some sort of financial difficulty that you've got, we can pray for you here on air. That's the very least we can do. So there's two ways you can join Cindy and me. You can call us, 888-928-0881. We'll take your call live on air. Or you can text me on 251-928-2111, and we will pray for your intention today. No intention too small, no intention too large. We've had them all on this show, and it is an absolute delight to be able to accompany you in whatever life is throwing at you. But remember as well, sometimes prayers are prayers of thanksgiving, and we've had those as well. I'm sure you know this in your life as well, Cindy. Sometimes you just want to give thanks to God for all the wonderful things that He's given us.
Yes, absolutely.
I've also heard, it's probably a little bit of a cheat, that a good way of getting something is to thank God first and then ask for something. Have you heard that?
Yeah, it's always good to remember the blessings. Sometimes it's hard, but sometimes we only go to Him when we need help, but got to remember the blessings.
Well, you're our blessing today, Cindy. We're very grateful to have you here on Archangel Radio. So shall we begin?
Sure.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Thank you, Cindy. That's us up and running. So for this first decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
I would like to pray for my husband. He's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, so it's been challenging, and he could use a little bit of peace, I think.
Yeah. What's your husband's Christian name, Cindy?
Ken.
Ken. Mm-hmm. Let's pray for Ken. Has that been a recent diagnosis?
Well, no, actually, it was a few years ago, but it's starting to kind of show itself a little bit more and more every day.
Yeah, yeah. It must be a great time of worry for both of you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Do you have children, Cindy?
We do. We have one son who's 18, so we'll be adding him to our prayers later today.
So. Okay. But just for now, maybe we'll pray for the whole May family. We'll pray for you, your son, for Ken. Do you mind if we pray for a miracle, Cindy?
Sure. Absolutely.
Let's pray for Ken today, and let's pray for a miracle. If it's God's will, let's ask that this Alzheimer's be reversed and that Ken be fully restored, all his cognitive functions, and that God's wonderful magnificence, his power, and his mercy be demonstrated in that to you and your family. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Cindy. And I will come back to you in due course for other decades. This next decade, we've had another text in from our friend Javier, who listens to the show. And if you remember, Cindy, during the week, we've been praying for Antonio. Antonio is a young man, well, a youngish man, but he has six beautiful children. I've just seen a photograph of them. Just this week, he was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor. And the prognosis is not good. So Javier is asking for prayers for a miracle. Yeah, prayers for a miracle. There isn't any other way we're going to get out of this. So he's asking for prayers for Antonio and his family at this time. So we very much hold them up to you, Lord, and ask for a miracle. There's nothing we can do, Lord. It's all in your hands. But if it be your will, spare Antonio and his family this cross at this time. And also, Javier is not a well man. He has leukemia, so we pray for Javier. And he's just been diagnosed with a hip problem, bursitis, which I've never heard of, but it sounds very, very painful. So, Javier, we include you in this prayer, and we thank you very much for getting in touch with the show. And please be assured of our prayers in the coming days and weeks, not just for you, but also for Antonio and his family. Pretty bad, Cindy, huh?
Yes, sounds... Yeah, hard to imagine.
Yeah. In situations like this, I'm so grateful for the faith. I don't know about you.
Helps get us through.
Absolutely. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Cindy. So for this third decade, I'm coming back to you. You mentioned your son. Is this a decade you want to pray for him?
Yes, please.
Okay. May I ask the name of your son?
My son's name is Josh.
Josh, yep. Okay.
He's 18. He just graduated high school and is trying to figure out what the next step is. And the difficulty in that for him, and then having to deal with what's going on with his dad it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. It is hard. Does he have any idea, Josh, what sort of things he might be interested in doing as an adult?
He's dabbling here and there, but right now I think he's just going to take some classes at the community college, which is great, and I just think he needs some guidance.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, at 18, I don't know about you, I could barely remember being 18, but it's a time when there's a lot of choice thrust upon you, and you're looking back, I was totally ill-equipped to deal with it.
Yes, I agree.
I often wonder if we should just let young people grow at their own pace. There are some that, yes, they'll know at 16 what they want to do. At 18, they know what they want to do. But there's others, it won't be till 28 or even 38 until they know maybe what they want to do.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I don't know about you. Just give them the space to just be for a bit.
Right. And that's what I've told him. I've told him there's no rush. I don't expect him to do anything other than do something, whether it's work or it's school or a little bit of both. But I'm not pushing him to do any one thing.
Which parish do you belong to, Cindy?
Blessed Francis Xavier Silos in Spanish Fort.
Mm-hmm. And is there a good priest there?
Yes, Father Sink is awesome.
So if Josh needed a bit of guidance, a bit of pastoral support, the priest would be able to give it to him.
Yes.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, he also has you, Cindy, and he has a good mother, and I'm sure Ken's been a wonderful father as well. So let's pray for Josh. Let's pray for all young people across the Archdiocese of Mobile, especially, though, for Josh. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to guide him at this time. Wherever God wants him to be, the Holy Spirit will slowly drift him in that direction. And let's pray for that God's will be known by Josh, that he will start to understand whatever the great plan that God has for him, and also to know the joy of knowing that plan. I don't know if you heard Father Peter before. He was so joyful, and it was because he knew he was exactly where God wanted him to be, which was serving as a priest in the military. So let's pray for that gift to be given to Josh as well, that he be given inklings of where God is calling him to, but also the joy of knowing that that is where his greatest happiness will be. I'm sure you won't disagree, Cindy.
Oh, I agree. Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My head was spinning.
I know. It's not easy. You're doing very well. You're doing very well on the radio. Okay, let's say this third decade then for Josh. And would Josh hear this? Maybe he'll hear it on replay at some point.
Yeah, I think he's still in bed.
Josh, if you're still in bed, you turn the radio on. You've got a wonderful mother and she's on the radio. You should be listening. You should be calling in and saying how wonderful, how proud you are of Cindy, your mother, being on the radio today, praying for you. Josh, we wish you well. And you know, Josh, if you ever want to come in and pray the Divine Mercy with us here live on air, you have an open invitation. Come in and we'll pray 5 decades that the Holy Spirit will enlighten you. And believe you me, by the end of that, if we can't get an answer, I don't know what the problem is, okay? So that's an invitation to you, Josh, when you hear this. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Now, for this 4th decade, one of the features that we've introduced onto this show in recent weeks is to pray for our guests. And it's really easy to pray for Father Peter today, our military chaplain. We've had various guests on who are not Catholic, don't believe in anything, and are always a bit bemused when we tell them we're going to be praying for them. But Father Peter specifically said he would pray for us and asked for our prayers for him. So I'd like to pray for his mission, his military chaplain vocation. I'd like to pray for all the men and women that he ministers to in the services. We'd also like to pray maybe for all military chaplains and for all those serving in the U.S. military, whether they're believers or not. Without them, the United States would be a very different country. So we'd like to pray for all those past, present, and future who will serve their country in those military services of one sort or another. And of course, we remember our own executive producer, Michelle, who has served her country, and some of her own family are still involved in that, so we pray for all of them at this time. Cindy, do you have any family or relatives that are serving in the military at this time?
I sure do. I have a nephew, Luke, who's in the National Guard Reserves.
That's wonderful. Is that in Alabama?
No, he's actually in Virginia.
In Virginia. Okay, well, we'll remember Luke as well. And also, if any of your extended family, maybe parents, grandparents, or whatever, served in the military as well, we pray for all those. We pray for all the departed souls of all those who have served their countries and made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can have the lives that we had. Just think about what the world would be like if Adolf Hitler had triumphed, but it was good men and women that went out and defeated that evil on our doorstep. So we give thanks to all of those who have and who continue to serve their country. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Believe it or not, we have come to the final decade. Hasn't that gone quickly?
That was fast, yeah.
It's even faster when you do it on the radio, I think. Now, I'm going to come back to you in a moment, Cindy, but one thing we've got to pray for is this situation, I'm sure you're aware of it, of this vessel, the Titan, Ocean Gate Titan, which is lost in the North Atlantic, and those five men trapped in that vessel, which, as we speak, is losing or has lost oxygen. So we're going to pray for those men. We're not interested in the whys or the wherefores or why they were there or what they were doing. It doesn't matter. There were five souls that need our prayers at this time. And we're praying for a miracle. A miracle that they'll be found, that they'll be found alive, and that somehow they will be rescued. Because you know what? If I was in a situation like that, and even if I'd done it in a foolhardy sense, I would still be so grateful that somebody had come and saved me. So let's pray for this, for those five men at this time, and for all those involved in the rescue mission. It must be very, very difficult for them as well at this time. Have you been following that story, Cindy?
No, I'm a little perplexed. I haven't heard about it.
Oh, well, if you listen to the start of this show, you'll hear all about it. It's a vessel where people were going down to look at the wreck of the Titanic, and they lost radio contact a few days ago, and they've been running out of air. They only had 96 hours of air, and as this show started, that's the 96th hour just passed. Mm-hmm. So we're praying for them. Yeah, it's tragedy. It may be a tragedy, or it may be an amazing miracle. And if it is, then we will be glad and rejoicing in God's goodness. So, Reed, do you have any intentions for us today?
I sure do, Kevin. I have a few things here from the St. Lawrence Parish.
Oh, brilliant.
First of all is Miss Elizabeth Robson, who is praying for her sons to be healthy and safe. Mm-hmm. And then we have Bev, who is praying for her grandson, Brennan, and she's praying in Thanksgiving that he had a checkup at St. Jude's Children Cancer Center, and mm-hmm. they said that his leukemia is in remission. So that's in Thanksgiving for that.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, and then the Rosary group there at St. Lawrence, they are praying for Jane, who is fighting cancer herself, just for continued miracles for her.
Yep.
And then I would love to pray for any policymakers and, you know, military leaders, the people who really have a lot of influence on the way we live our lives, to always uphold the moral responsibility that they have in their decision-making and policy-making.
Absolutely. No, I think you're absolutely right, because they're exactly the sorts of people that are sending people into very dangerous situations, i.e. soldiers and sailors and aircraft. They're sending them into those situations. So, yes, we need good politicians, we need good leaders, and we pray for those today. Mike, any intentions for us to pray for here in this final decade?
Yes, continued prayers for my wife. Praise God. She's, I think, 9 or 10 months in remission here. And also for my boys, Donnie and Jordan, and for my daughter, Stella. I'd also like to pray for all of my friends at EWTN and their intentions. And I'd like to prayers also for the families and those trapped inside the Ocean Gate submersible,
mm-hmm.
That they will find them, and that there will be some peace in those final moments there if they don't find them.
Amen. Okay, final word to you, Cindy.
I could use some prayers myself, and guidance and peace and strength in knowing how to deal with and get through what we're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have it. Cindy. Anytime you want, you can text, call this show, or just text us here, and we'll pray for you. We're a little praying family here on Archangel Radio, and we're delighted to have you as part of that family. So we want to pray for you. So do feel like we are a resource for you at this time, and we are very happy to join with whatever prayers you have in your parish, in your community, in your family, to help you, Ken, and Josh at this time.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think that's everything. We'd also just pray as well. It's Thursday. Let's pray for everybody at St. Lawrence. They pray for us here at Archangel Radio, so we return the compliment. We pray for the whole parish community, but especially that group of little prayer warriors that meet every Thursday and pray for Archangel Radio. We really do appreciate it, and we'd like to offer up this fifth decade for you as well. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Cindy, thank you so much for coming in, giving up your time, and praying with us here on Archangel Radio.
Thank you, Kevin.
I hope you'll come back soon.
I sure will.
And listen, let's keep Ken, Josh, and yourself in our prayers in these coming days. Do text us, do let us know how things are, and we just want to pray for you, okay?
All right, thank you.
Have a wonderful Thursday, Cindy.
You too.
God bless you. Okay, when we come back, we are going to be looking at suitable books for children. Yes, part of our series of looking at good summer reading, we are going to be talking to an expert, Jessica Thornton, about maybe some books that could be really edifying for young children. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Here live and exclusive this Thursday here on Archangel Radio. So good to have your company. Hope your Thursday is going well. Whatever you're up to, whatever you're doing, I hope you're having a wonderful time. Now, in this show this week, we've been reflecting a little bit on some of the ongoing controversies about book banning. Do you remember we talked about the fact that, that there's been various bans brought in places like Florida, Utah, and other states across the nation, and they are banning certain types of material that shouldn't be anywhere near a school. And we know the type of material they're talking about, stuff which is either overtly pornographic or certainly disordered one way or another. You know the stuff that's been peddled and pushed in schools for years. Well, there's a pushback, and parents are saying enough is enough, and lawmakers are listening to them, and they're banning certain books. But there's been a backfire. And that is that then the people who didn't like that have asked for the Bible to be banned. That's right. We heard this week, we had some audio of a rabbi in Florida asking for the Bible to be banned. I know, I still can't just get my head around that one. But in Utah, in one of the school districts, they've actually banned the Holy Bible from schools because there's too much violence, etc. in it. I know, you couldn't make this stuff up. Anyway, today we're going to talk about a positive initiative in the middle of this controversy, and that is the advent of the Lion and the Lamb. Now, what is that, I hear you ask? Well, Lion and Lamb is a Catholic children's book club that takes the stress out of summer reading for discerning parents, grandparents, educators, and whoever else is involved with young children. What they do is sort of carefully curate book and activity boxes designed to make age-appropriate connections to the liturgical calendar, our Catholic teaching, to virtues. And in so doing, parents no longer have to worry about vetting the type of content that is suggested as summer, good summer reading by schools or libraries, which may be anything but that. Now, they come in these nice boxes, which combine summer fun and a Catholic worldview, pairing a variety of undiscovered classics, faith-nurturing books with stickers, games, family discussions, more than you can cope with and much more than you'll ever enjoy because it's just so much of it. I tell you what we'll do. Before we meet our guest, Jessica Thornton, we are going to play you a little clip of a promotional video they have, which will explain all of this in a wonderful way. I wonder, Reed, if we could play audio file 5.
My name's Catherine. I'm the mom of three boys, and we love Lion and Lamb. Each box contains three books, and we get it 4 times a year, and we get it from Grandma. It's hard to find good content where you know that there's no agenda, that the virtue and the point of the story is something that's really substantial. And so there are great stories out there, but it is harder to find and it takes more time to curate as a parent. So to have three books every quarter that you know are solid and beautiful, it just takes a load off.
Thank you, Reed. So to tell us more about how Lion and Lamb aims to fill Catholic homes with quality books for children that uplift and emphasize the Catholic faith, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Jessica Thornton, who is the Director of Content Development at Catholic Ventures, and they are the good people behind this particular venture. Jessica, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Hello, Kevin. I'm happy to be here.
Now, when I first heard Lion and Lamb, I thought you were delivering food.
Yeah, that would be great.
Tell us more. How did this initiative come about?
Well, there's a need. There's a need for parents who are tired of going to their public library and being assaulted by offensive displays aimed at children. And it's become more difficult in our postmodern world to find the stories that do have noble heroes searching for truth, goodness, and beauty. So we decided that we would just make it easier for parents. I mean, there are other subscription boxes out there, usually put out by a specific publisher, and they kind of want to push their own books that they publish. We use all of the publishers, and we just take the best books from all of them. And part of my job is reading hundreds of books, which I love. I love that part of my job. The sad part is when I'm reading a book and I get to a part where I'm like, okay, well, this isn't going to work in our box. I don't get to finish it and cast it aside and start a new one and try to find the absolute best top quality literature for your family. And I try to do that so that I know that families, at least in our house, like books collect, a lot of books collect, and then you want to make sure that the books that you keep in your home are, I call it, worthy of shelf space. So everything that goes in the box is worthy of a permanent place in your home for a lifetime, maybe for future generations too.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, it's a wonderful idea, Jessica, but I was really struck at how original this is. Now, it may not be original to you. Maybe you work in that environment, but I would have never in 1,000 years come up with an idea like this, which is a wonderful idea to counter all those poisonous influences that are out there. Were you the bright spark that dreamed this up?
A little bit. So it was kind of my husband's idea, and in the back of his mind, he knew that there was a need for this, but also I was uniquely poised to run this because I have been a librarian in a children's department in a public library. I have worked in Catholic school libraries. I've worked in Catholic schools, and I homeschooled. And I have six kids. The oldest is 27. The youngest is 8. We all love literature. I was a literature major. And I think he just, you know, he wanted me to do something with all of my reading books and shopping for books that would be productive.
Sounds like a marriage made in heaven on all different levels. The only thing is, Jessica, you said something that if there's any authors listening, it will break their heart. And you know what that is, that you would stop a book half roads through.
I know. It breaks my heart, too.
That is the only mortal sin, as far as most readers are, most writers are. They don't mind you reading the book and not liking it, but not finishing it. That is a dagger to the heart.
That all of your listeners would probably be writing books that I would definitely want to finish.
Well, if there's anybody out there with a book, we'll put you in touch with Jessica. But more seriously, I would imagine, you mentioned the publishing houses, I would imagine that their eyes lit up when Lion and Lamb appeared. I mean, have you been bombarded by all those good publishers out there with endless amounts of books saying, choose me, choose me?
You know, it's just starting. Lion and Lamb, we're just 1 year old. So we've put out 4 boxes. The boxes are released quarterly. And we're really just starting to pick up momentum where I am starting to receive boxes of books or having meetings with publishing houses where they're showing me what's coming out in the future. And there is actually some super exciting stuff being released, especially by some of our smaller Catholic publishers.
You don't know the good folks at Chrism Press by any chance, do you?
Oh, not yet, but I will look them up.
Well, we had them on last week giving us book recommendations. You would love them. They're 100% Catholic and great fun with it. But I can see a certain, once the publishers are aware of what Lion and Lamb is doing and this sort of constituency that you're catering to, I can see a lot of them wanting to sort of have preferential deals with you and say, look, can you publicize all our books? How are you going to deal with that sort of pressure when publishers are maybe saying, we can really help you if you give us exclusive access to your market?
Well, I have, I'm brutally honest. You know, there are a lot of Catholic books out there. And I think specifically because I have a child with dyslexia, I'm very picky about text density on a page or is a 4-year-old going to sit for this lengthy text or are these illustrations off-putting? Like I'm pretty picky about what I put in the box. Like I said, it has to be worthy of shelf space. But it's not just Catholic publishers we've been working with. I have a great relationship with somebody at Penguin Random House who has gone out of his way to send me books by Catholic authors or Christian authors that he thinks would fit our box. Also, not all of the books in the box are overtly Catholic. Like you said before, there are some classics in there. But there are also what I like to call like the new hidden gems. So there are still authors in the world who are writing secular books about good people trying to do good things. And I'm trying to find them and give them to your children. There are some great authors right now putting out, for example, Jennifer A. Nielsen. She's an author from Utah. I think she publishes with Scholastic. One of her books is in our Lion Box. The Lion Box is for kids ages 9 to 12. It's a beautiful story about a girl growing up in Lithuania during the Russian occupancy and how she and other people are working to keep the Lithuanian language alive. They are book smugglers. And it's based on true events. So this is not about a Catholic kid necessarily, but it's a great story for Catholic people.
No, you're absolutely right, Jessica, because, I mean, if we discount non-Catholic authors, then we miss some beautiful wonders of English literature anyway. People like Jane Austen or Charles Dickens or whoever you want to say. I mean, if we're looking for doctrinal purity, it's not going to work. But you mentioned the age range there of one of the boxes. How does that work in practice? Let's say there's a parent listening to this and they have children which are very young, maybe under 5, and then they've got another batch and then, you know, teenagers. How does it kind of work in Lion and Lamb? Are you specifically targeting a particular age group or do you deal with all ages up till about 18?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the age ranges, but it's a guideline. So if you okay. have a child who is an advanced reader, they might not want the box that they fit into. So Duckling is for our youngest kids, 0 to 4. These are board books, some wordless picture books, some actual picture books that aren't going to be long stories. So something that a 3 or 4 year old will sit on your lap for enough time to get finish the book. That is the Duckling group. And that's for, but like, say you have a, I say 0 to 4, but if your 4 year old is already reading or can sit for a longer story, they might like the Lamb box. Lamb is for ages 5 to 8. Lamb is our biggest selling box by far. And I think it's because, like in the reading specialist world, it's actually 2 reading levels. So 5 to 8 is our beginning readers, and it's also early chapter books. So it's for kids who can be read a longer story to, or kids who are starting to read on their own. So that's kind of a really broad range right there. But 5 to 8 seems to be the most popular, and I think it's because it's the biggest age group too. Then 9 to 12 is the Lion Box that I mentioned before. And I say 9 to 12, but what I really mean is 9 and up, because I love all the books in that Lion Box, and I read books like that for fun. In fact, I prefer juvenile fiction and young adult literature. I think it's better written. I think kids are a more discerning audience. Adult literature, especially like what you find at the grocery store, is not going to be that great. So that's just my personal opinion. And yeah. So those are the age groups. Now, the one thing is all of our boxes are curated with the idea that boys and girls would like the items. Now, a boy might have to read a book about a girl and vice versa. We're not there yet getting to the boy box and the girl box, but maybe someday in the future.
It's a tricky one, that, because, you know, girls like to read about girls, am I right? And boys like to read about boys at that age, or am I being too simplistic?
No, you're right up into a point. Now, there's a reason Harry Potter's a boy, because girls will read books about boys readily than boys will read books about girls. I don't know why that is, but that's just a fact in the world of children's literature.
So Lion and Lamb basically deals with 12 downwards at the moment. Have you any plans to cater to the teenage market?
There have been some rumblings about that. My own daughter is 12 and telling me she needs a teenage box. Or sometimes I read a book and I think this is a great book, and it's just a little too, some of the themes might be too mature for a 12-year-old, like more for a high school student. So yeah, it's a possibility, but it's just like, you know, in the idea stages.
And in your job as director of content development, do you oversee basically how each book is produced in terms of content, in terms of stickers and other ancillary things that go with it? Do you do the whole creative process from beginning to end?
Pretty much. I work with a couple designers, but I write the discussion questions. I write the letters. I work with a team to, we call them add-ons. That's the fun extra stuff that comes in the boxes. Now, the video clip you played at the beginning of our segment, I think that must have been from almost a year ago, because I asked them yesterday to change all the verbiage on our website. It's not 3 books, it's 4 to 5 books. I've been able, with the price discounts I get from publishers, I've been able to put 4 to 5 books in each box to really add the value. But then we also have the other things in there. You might get a tiny saint or some really nice vinyl stickers that will stick to your water bottle through the dishwasher. There are other items we're working on, like designing a pencil to go in the back of school box. We've done window clings. We've done a lot of fun things, and we've got some ideas for more cool stuff in our future boxes. But there's always a handful of items in there that aren't books.
Sure. I mean, the other thing is they come out each quarter. You sort of follow the Catholic liturgical calendar and themes. I mean, is that very much pre-programmed? I mean, for example, I'm just trying to think, what would have been the box that you sent out, the last box that you sent out, would you say, for 9 to 12? Was it for Easter time or is it summertime? When was that?
So we just sent out the summer box. And the summer box, there's a holy card in there with a prayer for fathers. There are some God Bless America stickers for 4th of July. Most of the books in the box have to do, I tried to use a lot of American authors for the summer. There's not like a big liturgical theme to the summer box so much as the first box of the year comes out right before Lent and Easter.
Yeah.
So that's more of a direct focus. And then our winter box is definitely Advent and Christmas. So the next box is going to be fall. So there's going to be a Thanksgiving theme of gratitude. I might focus on a saint that has a fall feast day, throw a book in there, maybe a tiny saint. So that's the whole idea with the liturgical calendar. It also kind of meshes with our contemporary American holidays.
It sounds to me, Jessica, like that you're lightly working in the faith component, that you're not sort of sending out, you know, parts of the catechism at different times. You're trying to give it a kind of holistic feel, which is what children can kind of cope with, I guess, right?
Right. And it makes it more interesting, too. We did a box with like a generally themed Middle Ages with there was a book about the construction of the cathedral. There was a focus, there was a biography of St. Louis of France. So that one had, it was definitely a Catholic theme. The Middle Ages are teeming with Catholic knowledge, Catholic saints, but it wasn't necessarily tied to the liturgical calendar.
And what sort of feedback are you getting from both parents and children?
So far, the reviews have been overwhelmingly positive.
Brilliant.
I've had to call some people who have had to cancel for one reason or another. And the reason that breaks my heart is my kids don't read books. Or I sent it to my grandkids and they didn't read the books. And that's just, they play too many video games. I can't, I'm so sorry, but that's a parenting problem. That's not a product problem. But, and it's just heartbreaking because these are great books. I have a lot of nieces and nephews that get the books, so I usually hear from them. Most recently, my nephew, we put out a book about Julia Greeley, who is an American. She was a freed slave in Denver who ministered to poor white people. And I used to live in Denver. I was totally enamored with her story. Her remains are in the Cathedral of Denver. There's a cause for her canonization there. And a children's picture book came out about Julia Greeley. It's totally wonderful. It also highlights her devotion to the Sacred Heart, which is in June, which is perfectly timed. My sister loved the book. My nephew said it was just okay.
Well, I guess you know this from being a parent, Jessica. You know, sometimes what the children are reading, the parents will pick up on more nuanced stuff that's still there in it, and it's a kind of a two-way street. There's a kind of an apostolate going on with both parents and children, which is quite beautiful to behold. What about the whole homeschooling network? Have they jumped on this and thought, wow, this is great? The Jessica's sorting out our sort of tuition for the next quarter.
I would like to say yes, but in reality, homeschoolers have the largest home libraries. So I'm not seeing a lot of that. What I am seeing is a lot of grandparents are trying to evangelize their grandchildren from far away. So they're sending these boxes to their grandchildren who live in another state on the other side of the country and trying to keep the faith alive for children who might not be around their grandparents to witness it every day.
Now, the last week and also this week, Jessica, on the show, we have people who are coming on and recommending books to our audience. Last week, we had the good ladies on from Chrism Press, and they were recommending lots of adult reads, I guess, for people. We have a nonfiction specialist on tomorrow from Regnery Press. If you don't mind, you are our sort of YA juvenile fiction specialist. So if there's somebody who's got a child of that age, sort of early, middle, teenage years, and they're looking for a good book for a boy or a girl, what sort of books would you recommend to them that they may not have heard of?
Okay, let's see. That's a really tough question. So like the author I mentioned before, Jennifer A. Nielsen, she is a great author. She does a lot of historical fiction, particularly about the Cold War and World War II, but she also has a fantasy series that's totally clean, virtue-based, really good. I'm sure a lot of people have probably heard of Ranger's Apprentice by John Flanagan in Australia. My family loves the Ranger's Apprentice series, and then there's like the Brother Band series, and there's, I mean, that's probably 50 books right there by that author. But most recently, the series I tell everyone about is the Wing Feather Saga, or the Wing Feather Chronicles. It's a series of four books, and it's written by Andrew Peterson. He's a Christian, I think from Tennessee. They have their own publishing house now called The Rabbit Room, but I really believe this series of books is the Narnia of our time. It's about three kids and suffering and self-sacrifice and protecting each other and loving each other when it's really difficult and forgiving people who do terrible things. It's a wonderful, wonderful series. And the first chapter is completely terrifying. My own children were like, I can't, I just can't. I'm like, no, you got to keep going. It's the first chapter is the scariest chapter. Just keep going. There is light. Like in chapter six, it's really funny and happy, but don't be put off by the totally scary first chapter of the series.
Sounds good. Just give it a shout again to the name of the author and the series on that one, Jessica.
That's called, well, the first book is called On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness by Andrew Peterson, and it's the Wing Feather Saga.
Sounds amazing. Well, just out of interest, you already mentioned them, and I haven't read any of them. I'm not interested in them. I'm too old for them. But where would you stand on Harry Potter? If a parent came to you and said, should my children be reading this, what sort of advice would you give them?
So actually, I did read and review secular children's fiction from a Catholic perspective on a blog for 10 years. And I did write about Harry Potter. At the time, there was somebody in the church, and I can't remember who had read it and gave it a green light. I've read it, and my children have read it, and I think it's really important to highlight there are a lot of Catholic themes in that book. And somebody once said to me, how can you let your kids read Harry Potter? One of the spells is transubstantiation. I'm like, no, that's not true. There's a transformation spell where you can turn into an animal or something, but there is no transubstantiation spell. And there is no spell that can bring the dead back to life. Only Christ can do that. It's interesting to note that the kids in Harry Potter attend schools that celebrate Christmas and Easter. And one of the main characters has an incredibly large family. They look like they might be Irish. So, I personally, my kids read it and we discussed it and talked about those themes of self-sacrifice and suffering and evil and real evil. But also I made sure that they were old enough to understand that fictional witchcraft is not the same as real witchcraft. Like, you don't want to mess with real witchcraft and real spells and the occult. Yeah. Like, drawing that line in the sand. Same thing with Tolkien. To talk wizards and spells and Tolkien, and have to, you know, understand that in reality, what's in a book is not the same as what's in reality all the time.
Amen.
But also, parents are free to discern otherwise. You know, I'm not to say that everyone's kids should read that. You know your kids, and some kids are a lot more sensitive to those kinds of things than other kids.
Well, that's right. And I think that's where the parents really have to kick in and really do their homework, because they know their children better than anybody, right? So they can decide
exactly
what's what. One final question before we go. Lion and Lamb, how'd you come up with that name?
We were trying to think of something that was Catholic but would appeal to kids. So we got the Lion and Lamb. You know, Alpha and Omega just didn't have the same ring to it. And then from there, we came up with the age groups and the duckling and the lion and the lamb. And it's just kind of been a fun little branding tool for us.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Jessica. Very quickly, just tell people where they can find out more about this wonderful initiative, and they can order their own boxes of Lion and Lamb.
Catholic.store. Just type in Catholic.store and hit enter. It will take you right to the Lion and Lamb page.
Jessica, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Best of luck with Lion and Lamb.
Thanks, Kevin.
That was Jessica Thornton from Catholic Ventures and the wonderful Lion and Lamb, which I thought was a home delivery of food, but it isn't. It's good books instead. Hope you've enjoyed being with us today on the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio. We've enjoyed your company. If so, let's do it all again. Same time, same frequency. Tomorrow we have Trevor Cox coming on talking about the mysteries of Stonehenge and strange sounds emanating from that strange place. We also have Tom Spence coming from Regnery Press giving us some non-fiction recommendations for reading this summer. Okay. Let's keep praying for these poor men that are on board this vessel. Let's commend them to the mercy of God. But in the meantime, let's also commend your families to the mercy of God. We'll meet again tomorrow. Please God, same time, same frequency, same me. Until then, may St. Joseph watch over you and your family. Good night and God bless.